This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Number two of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Great to be back. If you missed any of the reasons where I was and what was going on, please do me the solid of going back and downloading. First of all, go ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for The Usual Suspects, top of the page. You can always check on what you missed, the hours you missed, the podcasts, and you can figure out what's going on. While you're there, you download the app, you take us anywhere, everywhere, and you can never miss another moment of the show, and that's what we suggest that you do.
You had a tease going in where you talked about the tide is turning for the city of Houston, you felt like.
Because I have never felt better about a Texans team than I feel about this one right now because of yesterday. And the way when I was watching it and had so much time without distractions to really focus on things. Here's the thing. They reversed an ugly pattern of this team and this town for so many years. Because take the Chiefs out of the equation. Where have you seen big game coming up against insert team here? Patriots, playoff team, whatever. Okay? Then insert other team scores first, whether they jammed it down your throat or they scored. First possession, Texans, turnover, which results in points. It's happened over and over and over again, and the initial reaction and the rest of the game reaction of this team, this franchise, and this locker room has always been, fold up your tents and go home. We're done.
That's a good point, especially on the road.
Yep.
And instead, in a hostile environment like KC.
Exactly. In a tough environment against a good football team, especially offensively, instead of doing that, they fought back. They got their dogs came out and said, we ain't going to let it get done like this today. We're not going to be done like that anymore. The letter jackets are gone, and so is that mentality. And they busted some ass yesterday, and that I was really proud about that.
Yeah, it was fun to feel pride and not luck. Like, ooh, they got away with one, or, oh, they got lucky, or, oh, this team sucks. You know, they went out. And look, they lost Howard on the left side of the line, and that didn't affect. You still didn't give up a sack. You were still able to run the ball. A lot of positives out of yesterday's game.
Talk about the turnover we set on fourth and one.
Mm-hmm.
Would have really been another downer. But you know what happened?
If Casey
was willing to take a risk, then guess what? The Texans were going to get the reward. The forced fumble on the sack, they get the ball, and they get points out of it before the half. Now you're not dwelling on what happened previously. You're focused on the success of what they were able to achieve going forward.
Added that two interceptions in the red zone, in the end zone, that could have resulted in points. But let's talk about the one negative for sure, and that is the kicking game. Kyme Fairbairn, I tweeted it out. Kyme Fairbairn is the Astros bullpen at this point. You just, every time he takes the field, you're like, fingers crossed, here goes. Not sure what's going to happen. And I, just like the Astros bullpen, I defended him when the season started because it came up. And we talked about, if you look at the numbers, he's been really solid. The fact of the matter is, you can't count on Kyme Fairbairn anymore, and it's getting really scary. He seems to be missing an extra point in every game. He was 2 for 3 from extra, an extra points. He was 1 of 2 from field goal range. That's leaving 4 points on the field. And then you talk about the other points that they left on touchdowns and whatnot. You just can't have that, especially if you're trying to play the better teams in the NFL like the Chiefs. So there's some decisions that need to be made. I mean, you really got to bring in some other kickers and evaluate that.
In the past, he's been really good.
Yeah.
And I know they drafted him. And look, he's lived up to billing in a lot of ways. But this is not a mediocre football team anymore. And if you look at all the different kicking issues across the league, which even continued yesterday, and the fact that a team like the Bears, which was a Super Bowl caliber team, cost them a chance at getting to a conference championship or a Super Bowl because of a kicker, you realize how important this is. As loyal as you want to be to a kid because you drafted him, you got to be realistic. And I think the first step is exactly what you said. This week, they bring in 1 or 2 extra kickers, and they make it known to him privately and publicly by doing so. You're on notice.
Yeah.
Nick, we like you. And look, the Packers did this 2 years ago with Mason Crosby because he went through one of these spells and said, as long as you've been here, and this is a lot longer with a lot greater career than Kyme Fairbairn when you talk about the Packers and Crosby, but they said, hey, look, we're bringing in other guys. We appreciate everything you've done for this franchise. But if we expect to be a winner going forward, We got to do what's right, best for this football team. And if what's best for the football team is not worrying about you missing kicks, you may have to go.
Yeah, I think you have to do that. I mean, you have to at least put that spark, put that bug in his ear that, hey, your job's not guaranteed. We know you've done well, but that is a certainly, if you're going to, look at a negative from the game, I think that was one. The turnovers were one. You got to clean that up. But the kicking game is something that needs to be cleaned up as well.
But the cool thing about them with turnovers and stuff, they react better, I think, than they have in the past. Mm-hmm. It's not a... like an incredibly dire situation or like this is over. I feel like they react and deal with their mistakes better now than they ever have in the past, at least under the Bill O'Brien era.
This is the first time in the O'Brien era. And like I said, you were dealing with some stuff when I brought it up, but between the opening series fumbling and giving up points and the fact that they could have gone home then, or the play that bothered you and I the most of the 4th-and-1 where you don't end up getting any points and you could go into the halftime with your dobber down thinking, boy, we screwed it up and left it out there. Instead, the forced sack fumble gets you the ball and you get the points you wanted out of the deal, and now it's a positive instead of a negative that's not going to dwell in and lead into the second half and carry over. It's the same way with the kicking game, though, too. For everything that's good, something that's that bad that can cost you points. And again, look across the NFL again yesterday. Look at the Falcons who tied the game and were riding high and looking forward to overtime. And one of their most reliable kickers over the last 10 years literally shanks an extra point. And instead, you're taking a loss to the Cardinals instead of going to overtime. And in every game I watched, there were kickers that, whether you're one of the best in the business or a new guy on the scene, just can't get it done right. I think the NFL wanted to make it more exciting when they extended the distance on the extra point. I don't think they realized they started a huge yeah. issue in terms of
but
teams
that's what they
kickers.
Wanted. They didn't want it to be so automatic.
Not a slam
and now,
down crack.
Yeah, and now you got teams getting wins because the kicking game suffers. So I think this is exactly what the NFL wanted, and I'm still okay with it. I kind of like the suspense of an extra point isn't guaranteed.
Yeah. They created an epidemic.
As easy as it was, you might as well just make a touchdown worth 7 points and keep it moving. Save that time.
You were saying that before they made the rule change. I remember that. Yeah. And you might as well. It was so easy. I think, yeah. What was the percentage difference, I think, before they moved it back?
Oh, I would be willing to bet you it's at least 10-15%. Right. At least.
Yeah. It was a massive difference in terms of percentages with field goal attempts made. So, look, if that makes it more exciting, that's fine. I mean, obviously, if you're on the receiving end, like if you're the, yeah. You're not going to be happy with it.
Yeah, the kickers aren't happy, but
the closest thing to a golfer with the shanks is a kicker in football.
Yeah.
Because they show you just how fragile they can be between their ears. When you miss one and suddenly you start thinking about the fact that, oh my God, this could happen again. And then it becomes an epidemic. It becomes something that you can't get out of your head and you can't stop doing. And it's spread across the NFL when you look at all the teams that have had to deal with it.
Well, I hate to be the Debbie Downer. But all of this is great, and I'm, before the season started, when we went down the schedule, I think we all predicted the Texans would be 1-6.
Yep.
Based on this schedule, yep. They're 4-2. You couldn't be happier.
Right.
But Titus Howard out. I don't know what the status is. I imagine if you're getting carted off the field, you're probably not coming back anytime soon.
He was crying. He looked very emotional.
I don't want to speculate.
4-6. Worst case is
done for the year. Yeah. That was your left guard that you needed to learn this game and continue to learn next to Tunsil. Thank goodness it wasn't Tunsil.
Right.
But nevertheless, that's a big blow to this offense because the line really did look to be improving significantly. The other one, and don't sleep on this, is Bradley Roby. How long is he going to be out with that hamstring? Ooh. They said he could miss up to a month. You already got a slow-ass Jonathan Joseph with hammy issues. Now you got Roby with hammy issues. At one point, Lonnie Johnson was your one. And cornerbacks. This rookie who has 6 games to his credit, he's got 6 skins on the wall.
Was your one.
And that's your one. That's a little scary.
Look, if you had draft picks to spend, you could get into the Patrick Peterson discussion, but you don't, Jalen Ramsey.
Well, they're not. You could, but I doubt very seriously.
They're not going interdivision anyway. Yeah. But the Patrick Peterson could have been realistic. You just don't have anything worth a darn to give up to get him. Because when you look at it, you're right. I mean, look, Jonathan Joseph didn't have a hamstring. He was hamstrung by the thought of, oh, my God, Tyreek Hill's going to torch my ass. Yeah. So, yeah, the corner situation has to be rectified and rectified quickly because the offenses you're going to face coming up, they might not be the Patriots or even the Chiefs or some of the real high flyers like the Saints when they have Drew Brees. But the bottom line is They're going to fling it around. They've got receivers that you know, like a T.Y. Hilton.
I was going to say, that's the big concern, is that over the next five games, you face the Colts twice. I'm not as concerned about the Jags. I'm not as concerned. But the Colts are a run-first team.
The Raiders sling it around now.
The Raiders like to throw it a little bit, and the Ravens are a run-oriented team as well. But of these, you got five games on the schedule, and you know Roby could be out for all five of those, or up to, and Joseph could miss several of them too. But with the Colts on two of those, you know that T.Y. Hilton is a Texans killer.
Yeah.
That's concerning. Now, we were concerned about Kelsey doing that, and he really didn't go off. But I think the Colts do love to run the football, so that might be your saving grace. But maybe the game plan changes when they look across the field and see that Lonnie Johnson is covering T.Y. Hilton. I just let that dog eat if I'm the Colts. I'm like, hey, let's just every time we're just going to go to T.Y. Hilton. We're just handing the ball off to set that up. That's concerning. More than anything else at this point. And who would have thought we'd have been talking about not the offensive line being a huge concern going into the next game? But I mean, even with Howard going out, still got four guys on that line that have been doing their job pretty damn well the last couple
even
games.
Even the week when you were getting into it, people on Twitter about the line, my biggest thing was, as long as Bill O'Brien is true to his word and lets these five guys get galvanized, get better every week, at least I'll hold out hope. I would have never in a million years expected no sacks for the last two games or whatever it is and what they've done over the last three. But now because of the injury or injuries based on how this line gets put back together, it does worry me a bit that now we're going to take a step back again.
Yeah, I said left side, I forgot. They did move him. Sharping is over there at the left guard. Right tackle is Titus Howard. So now you wonder, is it Centro Henderson? Is that going to be...
And when Johnson was out there, there was a few penalties, but that was the guy that they thought could also be a serviceable plug-and-play offensive line. Yeah. So I don't know what they're going to do, but obviously they've got some decisions to make.
Yeah, that's a little disappointing, but I mean, this team has still been playing so well, you don't want to just dwell on the negative, but it is something to look at going forward. And something you need to look at if you're going forward with betting on these games is look at MyBookie. We're in full football swing mode here, and who are you betting with? Because, listen, who you bet with is as important, or if not more important, than who you bet on. And MyBookie and MyBookie.ag, one of the best in the business, if not the best. Y'all, they've got more prop bets than any other sports book. They've got odds on every game. They've got the teasers and the parlays that you're looking for. But, dude, absolutely nobody pays you faster than MyBookie. You get your cash when you want it. It is so important. I can't tell you how many people I know that have gone out there and put money on games, and they're like, oh, I won big. I want to get it out. And then they've got to go. You'll hear, oh, well, send me an ID. Well, that's not what we're looking for. We need this. We need that. And they send you through these runarounds that takes forever to get your money back. Not with MyBookie. You're not going to go through that. You're going to play. You're going to win some money, and then you're going to get it back, and that's their slogan, and they live by it. Whether it's a small wager, big wager, doesn't matter. They've got it all. Don't bet with some no-name sports book. I want you to get your money back, and I want you to enjoy it. And you're going to do that with MyBookie. And if you go sign up right now, they've got a double your first deposit deal going. You can get up to $1,000 in free money. Who doesn't love free money, right? Guys, all you got to do is use promo code RADIO. Promo code RADIO to take advantage of that exclusive double your money offer. It's MyBookie.ag, promo code RADIO. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number two, looking for the halfway point, which is coming up soon, but we're going to take you all the way till 4 o'clock. Blitz takes you till 7, right here on ESPN 97.5. And
by the way, I did a very poor job of trying to hit those 90 in the books, 90 in the rear.
Oh, you tried?
All the resets were,
they were awful. I missed them. I would look up, it would be 145, because usually you do first half hour of the show. I would look up as 145. I was like, well, I missed that. It'd be 215. I'd be like, all right. Then I'd look up at 3, and we missed the 90 in the books. And then I was distraught about that. So then I would miss the 2 in the books, 1 to go at 3. It was just a mess. That was like that.
Not surprising, but then I dare ask. So you stayed on the clock the whole time.
We did pretty good about that.
I thought we did.
Yeah, okay. We were on remote on Thursday and. Beaumont. No, where were we on Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday. I apologize to the peeps in Beaumont. I was bummed I missed that.
We were
that.
Beaumont on Thursday and then here on Friday, but we did okay on the clock. It's just the bring backs and stuff. The rejoins, not that great.
And people in Beaumont can, Nick, you verify this, but my plan was to be in the car with you, even if I couldn't drive, and drive down to Beaumont. I did not want to miss seeing the 409.
You did. You did attempt. We did not know for sure that you were not going to do that show until
it was last
that
minute.
Day.
Yeah, it was tough.
So I saw this really interesting thing on Pro Football Focus. As you know, in the game yesterday with the Texans, fourth and three, big decision. Do you go for it?
Oh, that's another one we didn't talk about. I was livid about that at the time.
About going for it?
Yes.
Why?
I know you're kind of anti-Fairbairn at this point, but I'm like, you can't give up points and make it a two-score and risk the fact not making it a two-score game, because if you then go to – if you don't get it and they go down the field and you go to overtime and you lose – now everybody's going to point to that. I just think even if you were a little susceptible in the kicking game, I thought you had to kick that.
Really?
So it would have been a 44-yarder.
You trust Fairbairn?
No, I don't trust Fairbairn.
Okay. I thought he was okay in not trusting him.
Yeah, me too.
I thought they should have gone for it because he clearly did not have the confidence.
And that's why I think he went for it, because he's like, man, I got this Fairbairn kid. He's going to miss it. I'm giving him the ball. Because remember now, it's not where the line of scrimmage is when you miss a field goal.
It's where the ball was spotted.
Yep. So you're giving him an extra 7 yards.
Yeah.
This is the Chiefs we're talking about.
But my mentality is you play to win the game.
And they did.
But if you did, but again, if you go up two scores against Mahomes, you should win the game with that much less little time on the clock. You should win it too.
Well, it's funny because their Pro Football Focus had this decision of the week, and it was obviously that decision. There was a 60% chance of converting on fourth and three. All right.
Okay.
If they converted, there was a 100% chance they win the game. So you're taking a 60% chance that if it converts, it's a lock you win this football game. There was a 92% chance to win the game if you attempted a field goal. However, it was a 70% chance that he makes the field goal.
Okay.
So you're weighing 70% chance that your kicker, who is obviously has the yips, versus a 60% chance that Deshaun Watson can convert with the weapons that he has. At that point, being in the margin of 10%, I'm actually going to go with Watson and Hopkins and that run game that's put up almost 200 yards against that front seven versus Kymie Fairbairn missing everything to the right.
What I took away from that is, screw y'all, I had a point.
84% chance.
If he makes the field goal.
They still have an 84% chance to win if they were stopped on the fourth and three. So you go for it, it's a 60% chance you convert. Even if you don't, if that 40% chance happens, you still have an 84% chance that you hold it and you know, prevent the Chiefs from scoring and winning the game.
Credit to Bill O'Brien when he on that play and on several other plays, either critical third or fourth downs, at least he was smart enough to get it to the biggest, best hands on the planet instead of trusting, I don't care if it's Kuti or Will Fuller or anyone else, you got it to the one guy
that
even when there are two guys draped all over him, you got a 80% chance he's bringing that bad boy in. So I'm good with that.
Now, in this article from Pro Football Focus, they talked about the percent chances of converting and all that and 72% chance of making the field goal and the wins and all that, right? Here was the one line that stood out to me. With the win, Houston quadrupled their chances to earn a first-round bye in the AFC playoffs while effectively cutting the Chiefs in half. That's wild.
That isn't, because I would have never said that going into the season.
No way. But now you're
4-2,
just like the Chiefs are 4-2. Everybody thought that the Chiefs were the darling of the AFC. There's, you know, now you basically, your chance, that one decision affected a lot of stuff down the road, it could be. I mean, that's pretty amazing. I thought when I read that, I was like, wow. Quadrupled their chances to earn a first-round bye in the AFC playoffs.
Perhaps if I'm Bill O'Brien last year, considering the offense and the way it was moving, and even if the kicker was doing bad, I might go conservative and just take my chances with Fairbairn. But when you saw the way the offense was moving, it was too tempting if you're a head coach to not go for it on fourth and three, even if they don't. And look, you mentioned, a 92% chance in the event that he hit the field goal?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like my chance. I like the odds. It's not terrible odds. I mean, it's not a bad situation. So
yeah,
I think, and again, we're talking about so many different things that kind of changed the past misfortune and the fortunes of this team going forward based on what happened yesterday. And another one was conservative Bill O'Brien would have definitely still thrown the kicker out there.
Yeah.
So the fact that he did
run it up the middle.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right. The play call would have been hyper-conservative.
Yeah.
The actual, either the field goal attempt would have been a conservative. It would have been a negative instead of a positive. They probably would have lost the game regardless because that's the way their luck was going. This was a huge game changer on the landscape of Texans football going forward, I feel, in a lot of ways. And I feel it's all going in the right direction. So let's just hope they keep it going because the last thing you want to do now is capitalize on this big win and two in a row. And go and crap the bed against one of your nemesis within your division.
Yeah, you lose all that momentum if you do lose to the Colts and you both are 4-3 because now you're 4-2, they're 3-2. You want to keep that going and
the AFC
right
South
now the Texans
Barry,
are up there in the AFC as far as now to here
the
we
AFC
go.
AFC South they have two winning teams. You know how many winning teams are in the NFC North? Of them.
You're breaking up. You're going through a tunnel. Of them. I can't hear you. Yeah.
Oh, it was a bad bet.
This was a really bad bet.
You want to put your Tennessee Titans up,
especially
against
when
the Bears,
Vikings the
and the
Bears
Lions
have
and
the worst,
Bears.
The worst winning percentage in the NFC North, and they're at 600.
Enjoy.
I'm glad we didn't bet anything specific.
Oh, you have to clean. You have to give.
You're not
me a
making
pet,
up now.
You have
you
to redress
give,
his
you
leg.
Have to give me a pedicure and redress my leg with your tongue.
Wow. Not only did it get disgusting, it got a little weird.
With soap. You know?
You want Barry to lick
Stalker
your blood?
Brian,
what's going on?
Stalker Brian just got really excited.
Yeah, he did. He's
I
like,
just
like,
wanted
I'll
to punish
pedicure.
Him. I'm not saying I wouldn't completely wash it down afterwards, but I thought, you know, if that's torture, yeah.
God, this is...
I'll let Barry reopen the wound.
Oh,
literally.
Oh, God.
Dude, I'm a barf right
That's
now.
That's awful. Y'all want to get Slappy in?
Sure.
He wants to talk Texans.
Slappy wants to talk Texans. Slappy. What's up?
Hey, how y'all doing, boys?
What's up, man?
No, man, I honestly think that really we got to look at how strong our division is because, yeah, the Colts, I think they broke the code against Kansas City. We might watch film and everything, but – just think about how strong our division is now as opposed to how it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago where we're going to go one round in, maybe lose. Man, I honestly think that our division, compared to all the other divisions, are stronger. And I think that speaks volumes upon what we can do going forth in the division. Now, all we got to do really is just play ball. But, man...
Slappy, you think the AFC South is better than the NFC North?
The Chiefs.
Slappy, so you're saying the AFC South is better than the NFC North?
Well, yeah. It's almost like, I'm telling you like this. It's almost like, yeah, let them beat up on each other. But then again, I think we might be the second best division in the league right now. I think we're the second best division because of how we play. We still have that old school football mentality. But we kept homeboy, we kept Mahomes off the field. He had one minute 25 seconds on the field in the fourth quarter. Now, on top of that,
we also
ran the ball down their throat. Now everybody's going to this Big 12 offense, but it goes to show that SEC Big 12 style offense, we're more of an SEC type team, if you want to kind of give it a
chance. Appreciate the call, Slappy.
We love you,
Slappy,
brother.
Thanks for calling, but here's the thing.
I set
a barometer trying to do it with the division. When the division rolled into a whole lot of other comparisons and things that were completely off the radar, I just had to call it what it was.
Look, I this isn't the best division in football. Mm-hmm. I mean, the NFC North is the best division in football.
And if it's not the NFC North,
it's the NFC West.
Yes, the NFC West is pretty darn good.
Yeah, with three of the four teams, and even the Cardinals have a couple wins now.
Niners are undefeated.
Yeah,
Rams went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the Seahawks. And
perhaps if things progress and these teams start, you know, going on win streaks, maybe we have this conversation in what?
You want the
five,
bet
6 weeks, Joel Barry?
You want the bet, Nick?
Yeah.
You want a piece of that? You want to take the South against the North?
I would not.
Okay, I'll just ask it.
I would not. That'd be a tough bet to take.
I was listening to Texans post game driving around yesterday, and Sean Pendergast had a good point that he made that when you look at the divisions and the schedules, one of the problems that the Texans are facing is that on the, you know, you have your out-of-conference schedules and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
There, you get the Texans, the one game that they're facing in the AFC East is their game, their opponent from the AFC East is the Patriots. The Jags, I think it's the Jags, or is it the Colts? One of them, their opponent from the AFC East is Miami. So you're literally, and his point was, you're literally at a one-game deficit already. Yep. And I think it was the Colts. I think the Colts are the ones that have Miami on the schedule. So you're literally at, they have the Dolphins November 10th. So if you're competing with the Colts for this division, you're already down a game because you had to play the Patriots. You're probably going to lose that game, and they have to play the Dolphins, and they're probably going to win it. So you've really got to take care of business against the Colts.
But on a positive, because suddenly I'm not Debbie Downer anymore, but on a positive thing, no, I'm not saying you are either, but I'm saying even Texans fans, the one thing you did do is you held serve against the Chiefs, because after the Colts got the big win,
right,
you thought the last thing you wanted to do was fall into a bad head-to-head with the Colts by losing to the Chiefs. You did it, at least held serve there.
Yeah.
So that's good. All right, we've got 90 minutes to go. 90 still to go in the show after we already blew through the first half, but that's plenty of opportunities for you. If you want to be like Slappy and join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number. Text that number. Of course, always hit us on Twitter. We're always responsive at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is Funny. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio and very happy to be here as we proceed forward with everything and more on a big, happy weekend for your Houston teams. But before we do that, we always give thanks to you, the suspects that always keep us on our toes and give back when we can. And in this case, Nikki Glaser's involved. The famous and radio and podcast comedian and actress is hitting the road for the Bang It Out tour. And she's making a stop at the Revenge and Music Center March the 6th, 2020. We're going to take caller 14 right now, 713-780-3776. Caller 14 to 713-780-ESPN. You get a pair of tickets to catch one of the most entertaining comedic experiences on the market in Nikki Glaser's Bang It Out tour. Tickets are on sale now at LiveNation.com. So if you don't win them, you can buy them.
I just watched her new special that came out. Really funny. Radu is does a lot of work with Nikki. Radu Bhandar, former intern, now promotions person. I don't know.
Did he ever do enough as an intern to get full credit?
Yeah. Okay. I guess. Right. By the way, I do want to give a shout out to our promotions crews and Courtney. I had two appearances this weekend. I was at Zero Latency for their grand opening on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
That was a lot of fun. And we had some listeners come out for that. And then Sunday, I was at Lucky's Pub downtown for the game and with Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. That was a lot of fun. And the promotions crews at both did a great job. So just shout out to our teams. Courtney and crew over there do a fantastic job.
We love Courtney and the fact that her fantasy football team is Queen Suspect. That means that she's always going to look out for us, and we appreciate her. So, yes, absolutely in that regard. We give thanks, and I'm glad that everything went well with those.
No doubt about it. Real quick, I do want to read this text. It says, "Usual Suspects, I listen to you guys every day. Can you do me a favor and send a prayer out for my friend Jen? Last night," and Joel, this will hit home with you. "Last night in Houston, she was riding her bike and was hit from behind. She's in critical condition. Thanks." That's JRay78. So, yeah, wishing the best to Jen.
That is not good.
No, it's not good at all.
While you're on your
Joel
bike.
Can obviously sympathize with bike accidents.
No
so.
Doubt. And look, I'm telling y'all, as you know, and I'm sure it's not the best look in the world, as you know, that I'm a little too self-conscious about sometimes, but wear a helmet and don't assume because there's no traffic that nothing can happen. And especially if you're in traffic, you have to, because there's just too many idiots on the road that aren't going to respect anything with two wheels, let alone anything with four.
No doubt. The other text was from O'Reilly's Dave, and he just wants to know, part of the text was, who do you guys think is winning tonight between Packers and the Lions?
Well, I'll stay out of this.
Lions, 100%.
Well, according to my spreadsheet, all right, I'll just tell you that the math says 23-21 Packers.
Take it.
I'm picking the Packers, too. I don't think the Lions
the
are winning.
The spread is four. Last time I looked, I would have to go update it. So if you're betting the game, my spreadsheet says take the pack or take the points and the Lions because it's going to be pretty close.
ESPN's numbers say
yeah, what is the,
four
what is
and
there?
A half Packers to 5.5 Packers.
Oh, so it's 4.5 now? No, let's go.
I talked to
3.5 now.
I talked to my old college roommate.
It's down to 3.5 pack.
Back in Wisconsin on the way here. And I said, I don't care if it's by one or by 51. Just win. Again, it's a home game against a divisional opponent where anything can happen. But if you take care of business, you're in a really, really good position. Now, I'm not going to say the driver's seat, but you're in a really good position in the NFC based on everything else, the way it's shaken out.
I would still take the Lions and the points, but, boy, you just lost a half a point.
Yeah.
It was at 4, now it's a 3.5. I don't know. That starts to get a little more dicey.
That's what Vegas Insiders has, too. Is that what you're looking at? They have 3.5 as well. So.
No, I did it on ESPN's and GameCast.
ESPN this morning on TV.
It's a little dicier.
The actual line they gave was 3.5. But based on all of their experts' numbers and extended,
nerdy spreadsheets
they said they had it at 5.5. I said, like I said, I don't care, but I think the difference is going to be because they've got a running game in Detroit, but I think that the Packers are going to try and, like they did last week, they're going to focus on make Stafford beat him and know that if he's pressured, he's going to have to make a lot quicker snap decisions. And I think the key is all predicated on the Packers' defense again.
Yeah, can they stop Golladay? That's going to be part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, they got a guy named Jair Alexander, and if you don't know, you will find out tonight. Okay. That young kid can guard anybody in this league. So.
Well, I guess we are going to find out because Golladay has been a beast.
Yeah, they had a great name for him. It's not. It's a spinoff on Megatron, Kelvin Johnson, but I forget it's like Minitron or something.
Oh, nice.
But the Detroit fans just love that.
Yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a receiver, so we'll see. Look, like I said, I just hope they win.
You watch any college football?
I did. I had no choice. I watched everything.
Yeah.
I was watching all kinds of college football. I don't know how anybody that's a Georgia fan can have one thing to bitch about.
Boy.
They were manhandled from basically start to finish. They got everything they deserved and more. South Carolina had almost too many chances to beat them. And so
I'm surprised Georgia's still in the top 10 after
that. I am
that.
Too.
How? I realize it was one kick and all that, but damn. You got a team that was at one point third. They were third. Yeah. But you're third in the country, and you lose to South Carolina, and you only fall to 10. I find that hard to believe.
A 2-3 South Carolina.
Yeah. And then the same is true, though, for LSU.
Yep.
You do what they did, and you're not number one. You've now beat Texas and Florida. You've got more skins on the wall, I think, than anybody else.
They're still
How are they
be,
not number one?
It's still going to play out through proving it, right? So if you're just going to go on the legitimate schedules to date and where people should rank because of them, there is no doubt in my mind I would put LSU number one.
Yeah.
Because they've done nothing short of dominate, and they cured their biggest woe, which was offense. They've played the schedule. They've played the ranked opponents. They've handled their business. And they haven't played a whole lot of cupcake ball. Whereas you can put Alabama 2. You can put Clemson 3. Oklahoma was impressive. And even with the turnovers from Jalen Hurts, if he doesn't have them, it's even more impressive. But I just think, look, those are the teams playing ranked opponents now. You were talking about how you want those key matchups early in the season. They haven't shied from them. They haven't run from them. And they've done what they had to do with them to where they need to be up there.
I said LSU should have been moved up to 1 when they beat Texas in week 2.
But now that we take this one,
win.
Too?
Yeah. How are they not number 1? That does. They beat, at the time, Texas was 9. And then now Florida was 7. So you have two top 10 wins.
Mm-hmm.
In the first 6 weeks of the season, and you're not number one. Bama's signature win this year is A&M.
Here's the thing. Save your credibility by doing your rankings not based on roster and probability and projected win total. Do it on the Janet Jackson theory of what have you done for me lately, because you know it's all going to filter out in the wash. You know that LSU still got a tough schedule to face.
Yeah.
Alabama with the same. Anything in the SEC, you know they got to face it. You know that Oklahoma's still going to have at least a couple tough games. But do yourself the favor of saving face and looking good with the American public by saying, look, to date, based on opponents, strength of schedule, and the way they've handled the and gotten those wins, it's hard to argue LSU.
I don't see how you could. And I will say this, you got to give credit to the Big Ten, though.
Yes, you do.
Because at the beginning of the season, this was a top 10 that was heavily loaded with SEC teams at the top of the top 10. Now, obviously, it's Bama and LSU up there, but you got Wisconsin and Penn State sneaking up. What Wisconsin did against Michigan State, that's a program, Michigan State, that, boy, when the wheels came off, it came off fast. What happened?
But let me tell you this.
They can't score. The offense is awful.
See, now, that's,
and Wisconsin's defense is really good.
Yes, that's where I'm going with this. Because everybody's saying, what happened to Michigan State? What you don't realize, and what people need to start paying attention to, and I tweeted it yesterday, but when you look at Wisconsin's defense, and you look at what they've been able to do, and Dave Aranda left Wisconsin to be the LSU D coordinator, and now he's got all these five stars. But the fact that they not only haven't lost a beat, but that dominant defense in Wisconsin was the last team in the country to not have given up a point in the first quarter or the fourth quarter of a game, and then to shut out Michigan State and do what they've been able to do all year long, including what they did to Michigan from a points given up standpoint, you got to start tipping your hat going, this defense is really damn good.
They've given up 29 points for the year.
Yes.
They're averaging giving up 4.8 points a game, the Wisconsin Badgers are. That is insane. And not far behind them, though, is Penn State giving up 8.2. And the Buckeyes are only giving up 8.8. Right now, Big Ten football is like, that's the, you know, the SEC used to be known as the conference that had all the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Aranda goes to LSU, and if you remember a guy by the name of Jim Leonard that was a longtime safety in the NFL, was pretty good. But when he left, they gave a guy with no coordinator experience the keys to the defense and said, do it your way. And I had a lot of doubts. But this dude, in a short period of time, has got this defense, and they never really took a step back, but they've now taken a step up to where it's impressive. If they can continue to run the football, because I'm not telling you they're going to blow anybody's doors off like LSU offensively throwing the ball.
Yeah.
But if they can pound the rock, control the tempo, and their defense does that, they got a chance against anybody.
Well, I tell you, I know we got to get out of here, but the Aggies were just – Kellen Mond is just so inaccurate. They left so many touchdowns on the field, several underthrown balls or poorly thrown balls, guys wide open. I wanted to root for that kid, and I really hope that he had turned a corner, but he's just too inaccurate to be able to hang with some of these upper echelon teams on the field.
I don't disagree.
Unfortunately with that. But hey, guys, if you're not using GetUpside, boy, are you wasting money. I don't know how else to put it to you, but GetUpside gets you cash back on stuff you're paying for. Let me give you an example. I got to get gas on the way home today. I'm going to stop. I'm going to pull up my GetUpside app. I'm going to look and see what deals are around me. Usually I can find 10, 12, 14 cents in the Galleria area. Then I'm going to select that deal, go fill up, and then I'll upload a picture of my receipt to the GetUpside app. And then within 24 hours, I've got cash back in my account there. And you could be doing this every single time you fill up. And if you download and put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, your first fill up, you're going to get extra savings through the GetUpside app. And then you just, it's up to you to make sure you remember to use it to keep getting that cash back. For your food purchases, that's where the real money starts coming in, especially if you're like me and you eat out a lot. You could be getting up to 35, that's a third now, 35% cash back. A third of your cost for each meal, you could be getting that back every time you eat out. They've got Wendy's, Popeyes, Burger King, La Madeleine's, Candelaria's Pizza, Dunkin' Donuts, Sonic. So many choices, hundreds of restaurants around the city where you could be getting that cash back every single time. If you're not using it, well, one, you're kind of silly because you're wasting money. But two, take advantage of the opportunity now to go download it and start using it. No commitments. ABC 13 did a story on GetUpside. Guys, there's a lot of folks at the station that use it. There's a lot of listeners that are using it. If you're not on board yet, hop on, man. You're wasting money. Guys, go download GetUpside right now. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two of the three-hour show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be in the big city, but you got to be happy today. Astros win a nail-biter in extra innings to even the series with the Yankees last night, and the Texans beat the Chiefs. And I don't want to say all is good in the world, but it ain't bad.
It could be worse if you're a Texans fan, or a Houston sports fan, for sure.
Are you guys going to continue
could be the Cowboys.
What? College football? I just want to talk about the kicker, the Texas kicker.
Okay, talk about him.
God, that is he should totally copyright that phrase, Dicker, the kicker. Oh,
my
God.
Everybody uses it.
Everybody's been saying it. Have you heard it on the broadcast?
Yeah, they do use it a lot. No, and the crazy thing is, whether it be Fox or CBS, everybody gets into the Dicker, the kicker.
It's fantastic. Listen.
Yep. Dicker, the kicker.
And
is
of
that
course,
Gus Johnson?
Yeah, when you get Gus
I love
Johnson,
Gus.
It's
I
on.
Do.
It's on at times 100. So it's one thing if, like, you know, whoever it is, Vern Lundquist, whoever the big college football CBS guys are, if you know if they throw to the color analyst and Gary Daniels or someone goes, and Dicker the kicker is solid. But when you hear that way from Gus,
oh, it's hilarious.
It becomes a cult following type.
He should totally copyright that if he can.
That's funny. I hadn't heard that yet. That's pretty good.
And he's an Austin kid, I think.
Yeah, he is. He's from Lake Travis, I believe.
Yeah, which is the powerhouse for quarterbacks, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you should have. At any, you know what? Here's a deal when we started talking about the whole pay the players thing. You want to talk about a guy that gets Barry Laminack in his life and gets his own T-shirt. And it's burnt orange and it has nothing to do with any logo of the horns. But it has some kind of funny play on words with Dicker the kicker. He going to get paid.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yep.
If you're a Cowboys fan, how sad are you today? Ooh. That's a tough. That's. Ooh. I mean, this is a team that looked like world beaters, and they're 3-3 now.
I tell you who's happy.
And dropped one of the. Did you see the video of Jason Garrett trying to get high fives from his team as they came off the field?
God, did he get snubbed?
Everyone ignored him, and you could tell that it bothered him because he kind of looked down, and then he looked back, and he was like, maybe they're mad at me. Guys, is everyone sad? Why was it my fault? Like, oh boy.
That was a depressing video
even
for
Cowboy
Jason.
Fans
funny for everybody else.
Are crapping all over Jason Garrett.
Sure.
But the thing is, they're clamoring for a change now. If you make a change now, you're basically saying your season is over. Because now you're in flux no matter what. And and by the way, if you're Dak Prescott and you didn't sign that deal because you thought you were going to get more after you were 3-0 against crap teams.
Yeah, that's
you
just
may
it.
Have taken a whole lot of money out of your pocket, big guy.
That's the key is you said 3-0 against crap teams. Giants, Redskins, Dolphins, and everyone was like, well, it's a Cowboys Super Bowl. And then they had to play the Saints and the Packers back-to-back, lose those. But then you think, all right, well, it's the Jets.
Get well game.
But then, yeah, but then Sam Darnold comes back and, you know, a couple breaks
that
here and
Jets
there.
Jets defense, and I told y'all, it's Adams, it's all those guys that play for Greg Williams. You can't sleep on the fact that even the Monday night game when they had a quarterback off the street, their defense at least kept them in it in some fashions because they're so damn good with their schemes and their blitz packages. And I expected the Cowboys to win a tighter game than most would have expected. I did not expect to see what I saw yesterday.
Well, now they've got two more division games back-to-back, Eagles and then Giants again. And I'm not suggesting they lose to the Giants, but I don't think that Eagles game isn't going to be a cakewalk.
And I got news for you. Doug Peterson just doubled down because as Eagles head coach, he just came out today and said, bottom line, we're going to win versus the Cowboys.
Ooh. Let's.
Your locker room loves that, and the Cowboys locker room is like, let's get Jason's gear. Nope.
Yeah, let's get old Clappy McClapperson over there.
How do you not keep handing the ball to Zeke?
I don't understand that.
Especially when Cooper goes out, what, three plays in?
Yeah.
Go with the dog that got you there for the last how many years and that you just spent all the money on that he is wrapped up.
Yeah.
Get him the ball.
28 carries, 105 yards, and there were still plenty of carries left on the field. I don't get it.
Again, you got a new offensive coordinator that everybody thought was the second coming. He's going to be great. Well, he looks great against bad defenses, but boy, put him up against some decent ones, and it's a different story.
And it's funny because you thought, oh, well, it's Dak. This is, like you said, it's a get-right game. It's the Jets, and Sam Darnold out-dueled him.
If Sam Darnold doesn't make just one bad throw all game on a slant route that would have really cemented it, the bottom line was he was going to get points in the red zone.
Yeah.
Instead, it turned into a pick and put the Cowboys in position to get another score. and keep him in the game.
Otherwise, it's a perfect game.
It is. He played great. The defense played great. Le'Veon Bell, and I'll give Jake Asmund credit, because I was crapping all over the Jets' offense without Darnold. And he said, I said, so did they make a mistake on Le'Veon Bell? He said, he's a beast. If he had anybody that could throw the ball, he toughs out every play. He gets every extra yard. He catches. He runs. He showed me something yesterday. They might not be there yet, but I think they've got the building blocks of doing it the right way.
Yeah.
So that was a tough loss for the Cowboys. Big win for the Jets. And we can talk some other NFL.
By the way, somebody wants to make a gentlemanly wager with you. Go Bucks. I'm guessing that Ohio State-Wisconsin game.
No, one of my best friends October 26th. Is a Buckeye, and I'm not that dumb.
Okay.
Because we've already had a discussion. As good as Wisconsin is defensively, we don't get every five-star on the planet and cheat, so I'm not going to bet against the Bucks.
Somebody said LSU 1, Wisconsin 2.
Wisconsin's not that good, but like I said, they still got to prove themselves too.
Yeah,
and they play Ohio State, so
yeah.
In terms of what you've earned to this point in the year, I don't mind Wisconsin getting consideration for top five.
I wouldn't be upset with
that. I'd put them like six. And with the defense
they're playing, I wouldn't be upset with that.
Yeah. All right, so that's 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go, 60 minutes on the clock when we get back, and that means that we have an hour to entertain you before the Blitz gets going with Fred, AJ, and Aaron. They'll take you till 7, and all you got to do is keep it tuned right here to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there